In the established order of calendars and events, we are in that space between Thanksgiving and Christmas. This is a time of remembrance and celebration, and each event requires a degree of preparation. Also, let us not forget that the year is almost over, asking us to reminisce over the happenings of 2022. With the arrival of the new year, we follow the tradition of placing our hopes and our dreams into that new time of experience. We commemorate its arrival with optimism and anticipation, with champagne, balloons, and fireworks. The human nature observes the passage of time in various forms of celebration, enjoying a certain degree of fulfillment and satisfaction appropriate for the occasion. However, I have to admit that sometimes the required busyness is a bit much, and sometimes the events just seem to run together. For instance, on Thanksgiving Day, we barely clear the food from the dining room table when we find us in the mall shopping for Christmas. Throughout the month, there are special events that we want to attend, such as concerts and recitals. There are also the performances of the Nutcracker at the Kennedy Center and the Christmas Carol at Ford's Theater. In addition, let us not forget about our Divine Science Christmas services. And then what about our fascination with the new year? Do we really expect it to be different from the prior experience? If so, then in what way? Yes, we do enjoy the festivities. However, the time of preparation means there is work to be done. Now, I have noticed that some individuals enjoy the activity and the commotion, getting involved in all of it. On the other hand, there are those who retreat into a place where they stand back and become an observer, allowing the parade to pass them by. They maintain an atmosphere compatible with their lack of enthusiasm to be part of the busyness of preparation. And I began to wonder, what makes the difference? What allows one to step up and another to stand down? Well, I think it has to do with what we consider the preparation. The outer display of the celebration or the event does require the work of busyness, going here, going there, making lists, and checking them twice. Directing attention to the origin of the celebration does not require work of this nature. Remember, there is a reason for the celebration. Individuals who focus on its purpose and motivation commemorate the deeper meaning. This requires contemplation, turning inwardly for enlightenment and illumination. We understand that we make decisions and reach conclusions in individual consciousness. In consciousness, we determine our view of life, and it is this view that assigns value and significance. This attitude allows us to stand down, recalling the event in our heart and not merely in our head. The ones who choose to focus on the inner reason for the celebration do not require the outer display. At that time of Thanksgiving, they give their attention to the grateful heart, praising God in love and gratitude. This activity takes place in consciousness. This daily practice is a form of recognition. It is a moment-by-moment acknowledgement that God is our source and there is none else. And then when it comes to the Christmas event, these individuals consider it a celebration of the inner nature. The inner nature reveals the holy birth, the birth of Christ in the soul of all mankind. Spiritual revelation gives realization. Thou art the only begotten child of God. Now, the arrival of a new year is simply an event marked by the calendar. Newness is not an annual event. It arrives each day as a blank slate, allowing us to fill it however we want to. Now, the thing is this. We celebrate events according to how we view life. If we require a tangible display to satisfy us, to fulfill our expectations, then the outer preparation is our method of acknowledgement. On the other hand, if we view life according to our divine nature, we seek inwardly, recognizing those qualities assigned to that nature: harmony and contentment, joy, peace, and beauty. These are the spiritual qualities worthy of acknowledgement. And when we claim them, our view of life expands into greater awareness of God's presence. We do this in a time of meditation. And in the solitude of that moment, we are alone with God, and we understand that Christ is born in us. Regardless if we seek in the outer or if we seek in the inner, a certain amount of preparation is involved. There is work to be done. Now, the word work suggests effort, labor on our part. This is certainly evident in the activities surrounding the outer display. Someone has to do the shopping, the cooking, and the cleaning. Somebody has to address all of those Christmas cards, purchase the gifts, and trim the tree. Someone has to provide the champagne, the balloons, and the fireworks. All of this activity sounds like work to me. However, what about the one who does his or her preparation as an activity in consciousness? What about the one who commemorates the deeper reality? The one who claims the divine qualities and attributes of the spiritual self? Contemplating the purpose of gratitude and the significance of the spiritual birth is an activity of inner being. Secretly and silently is the way of revelation. Nevertheless, a certain amount of preparation is involved. Working in an inward way requires us to be silent and quiet. We prepare ourselves to enter the silence by becoming still, giving focus and attention to spiritual things. Reading spiritual books inspire and uplift, placing us in an awareness receptive to the inner realm of being. And above all else, we must live, move, and act according to our spiritual integrity. Our divine science founders advised us to practice the presence and live the truth that we know to be so. While I do consider this an act of preparation, can we actually call it work? Now, the Bible tells us that Jesus was about his Father's business. The word business indicates effort or exertion, perhaps some type of labor or mental activity. The business person of today goes out into the world involved in work associated with his or her occupation or career. Now, the work may include performing manual labor or making mental decisions. Sometimes it is a rewarding experience and other times not so much. Regardless, obviously there is work associated with the business and it has to be done. Now, what about God's business? What is required to be about his business? What effort is required to do God's work? Since God is spirit, his business is not confined to a physical location of brick and mortar, nor is his business one of exertion or struggle. In fact, Jesus said, he of himself could do nothing. It was the Father within that doeth the work. Now, if the Father does the work, then what role did Jesus play? What is the activity associated with spiritual work? Jesus served as God's avenue for expression, healing the sick, feeding the hungry, and comforting those who mourn. God anointed him to preach the gospel, to tell others of truth and of eternal life. When we are the instrument for another, we are their disciple, allowing the teacher to lead and direct. The early divine science ministers talked about doing the work. Now, the work they referred to was not one of toil or labor. Their work was an activity of lifted consciousness. They spoke of the need to stay prayed up, that is, to be mindful of the indwelling presence. It is true that the activity called work is the method of achievement and accomplishment. However, there is no stress or strain associated with God's spiritual work. When we are about our Father's business, Spirit leads us. God is an infinite reservoir of strength and wisdom. Consciously connected with that reservoir, no matter how much activity his business may entail, we never grow faint or weary. The life that can be tired, the life that can be overworked, the life of which too much is demanded, is the life of the selfhood that considers itself apart from God. Being apart from God, any work this individual might do is laboring in the far country, toiling in the field of dissatisfaction and disappointment. To experience true satisfaction and fulfillment, we must give up the sense of life of a selfhood apart from God. Consciously connected with God's wisdom and strength, we understand that we are not the one doing the work. When we live from Christ consciousness, we consider that any demand made of us is made of Christ. Whatever demand is legitimately made upon us is made upon Christ. Now, I say legitimately made because some of what others ask of us is not ours to do. Sometimes the one who lives as a self-hard apart from God makes demands that only they can fulfill. When we are about our Father's business, led by Spirit, we are given the words to speak and the actions to take. The purpose of today's lesson is to consider the preparation necessary to commemorate the birth of the baby Jesus on Christmas Day. How does one prepare for the holy birth? How do we prepare ourselves to welcome the Messiah, the Christ. Some churches call this time a preparation, the season of Advent. This period consists of the four Sundays before Christmas. Now that word Advent indicates that something is coming into being, that something new is about to happen. Many Orthodox churches dedicate the four Sundays before Christmas as preparation for the coming of Christ. During the season of Advent, members of the church choir wear stoles over their robes. Each Sunday, they change the color of the stole, adding significance and meaning to the occasion. In addition, there is usually an Advent wreath with four candles. Now, each Sunday, they light an additional candle until that fourth Sunday when they light all four candles. This final act announces that the time has arrived. It is now time for that baby to be born. Much symbolism is involved in this time of preparation. Now, this idea of preparing for the birth of Christ is not new. We read of the mission and purpose of John the Baptist. Charles Fillmore, in his book, The Revealing Word, describes him in this way. John the Baptist represents the natural man, the physical man. His face is turned toward the light in the measure that he recognizes and pays homage to the higher self within the individual. The intellectual perception of truth by natural man, John the Baptist, is not the true light, the Christ, but bears witness to the light and prepares the way for its dawning in consciousness. John the Baptist, as natural man, came heralding the command, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every hill and mountain shall be brought low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough way shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." John, representing natural man, said yes, he could do certain things. He said, "I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." He also said, "I must decrease so that he may increase." The message is this: the sense of self called natural man must give way to the reality of the spiritual self. The sense of a life separate and apart from God must be released. We must put off the old man, that old sense of self, so that the new man may reign in the consciousness of the individual. When Jesus heard that John the Baptist was put into prison, he then began his ministry. From that time on, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So now we know. The time has come for us to experience the new revelation. It is time for the act of preparation to begin. There is work to be done. And again we ask, how do we prepare for the Messiah? We begin by aligning ourselves with what we know about the Messiah. The way we contact the sun in the sky is through its rays of light. And likewise, the way we know and feel God is through light and revelation of God. To the sun in the sky, there is no darkness. And to the one God, there is no other. all is himself. The one mind of everyone knows itself to be pure, perfect, invariable, and immutable. This is the mark of the high calling. Lift your eyes on high and behold only him. Prepare ye the way. We read that we are to pray in the name of Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus means in spiritual light, in divine illumination, in the glorious revelation that God has no opposite. In Christ Jesus means to know, I am that I am. I am the light of the world. The things of reality which one may seek to obtain by mental effort are always present and intact to be revealed to him of the Spirit. Ask, and it shall be given you. Knock, and it shall be opened. Our act of preparation is to be open and receptive to that infinite reservoir of wisdom and strength that exist in our heart and in our soul. This is the work that is to be done. This morning we have the opportunity to turn within and listen. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we close our worship service, we claim a moment of silence. In the silence, we are in God's presence. I have prepared a place for you. Enter in and be at peace. My infinite storehouse of blessings is spiritual refreshment for the weary heart and the troubled soul. In silence and solitude, we prepare ourselves to receive him. Alone with God, we listen with the inner ear. We discern with the eye divine. There is no other voice, no other direction or instruction. A mind stayed on him is lifted vision beyond the faculties of the human nature. Go often to the holy place, to that sanctuary of inner being. It is natural for us to do so, to be consciously one with the creative activity that put it all in place. God gave us his name and breathed his life into us, expressing his attributes and his inherences. In a time of meditation, the command is given, prepare ye the way. I am, and beside me, there is none else. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within and acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.
Praise God.
Have a blessed week.